It's me, Mario.
Hello and welcome to the first D3 show for both World of Podcast and World of Warcraft Podcast and GamesAreFun.com. We're doing this as a joint podcast because, frankly, I don't have the time to do two separate ones. I'm here, Sam Aldersitz, and I'm here with Ash Paulson.
How's it going, guys?
And Ian Puchel. We're here to bring you all the E3 news we can. Up first is yesterday's Sony Computer Entertainment press conference for their pre-E3 show, in which they gave us a lot more details on the PlayStation 3. I don't know about you two, but I was pretty unimpressed. Ash?
Yeah, I have to say I was too. I mean, Sony's never been known for their interesting press conferences, but it's just, I don't know, their bark was much greater than their bite, I felt.
Yeah. Ian?
A lot of slides.
You're right. And honestly, I was the only one of us there. I was bored out of my skull. I really was. And I get this problem every time I'm at the Sony conference. They're boring. They really are. And in this case, we also found out a little bit of information that people may or may not like, such as the price point of the PlayStation 3.
Indeed. Yeah, well, you got the lower end model for the $500 and the higher end model for $600. And, you know, instead of the only change being the hard drive size, the $500 model is just serious as can.
What if Ken's saying we need to get a second job, we need to stay for the PlayStation 3?
I think he did say that last year, didn't he? Yeah, no, and Ash is right. It is seriously gimped. Besides the fact that the hard drive is smaller than the $600 version, there is apparently no HDMI slot, so there is no 1080p, and according to the Blu-ray specification, you guys were correct when you were saying it earlier, no HD movie playback.
That's what I thought.
Because it requires HDMI. Something I don't know. There are no extra, I guess it's no extra memory card slots, like the SD card and whatnot. I'm sure it's going to have the regular PS3 memory card, or maybe a memory stick, whatever they're going to use for it. Right, but none of the other memory sticks.
Right.
No Wi-Fi built in.
That's the kicker for me. I mean, that's the way I live. I mean, I have to, if I'm going to put my consoles online, they have to be wireless. It has to be Wi-Fi. And the fact that Sony is just axing Wi-Fi support for the lower model completely is just, to me, I mean, that's just pretty much, it's a blow.
Yeah, it's a deal breaker for me. What about you? You really care about the Wi-Fi there, Ian?
It would have been nice.
I mean, do you use Wi-Fi at your place?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now I've got the 50-foot Ethernet cable going to my Xbox.
Yeah, I have that too, and, Wi-Fi, folks, is where it's at, and the $500 one is seriously gimped. But how about Japan getting completely screwed
screwed? Yeah, you were talking about how the retailers get set their
price. Yeah, for the lower end model, it comes out to about $527 when you convert it. But the higher end model, the retailers get to set the price. Yeah, that's going to go over real well.
Yeah, well, that's nothing compared to what, you know, the Europeans are going to go through. That's, you know, we're looking at, how many did you say? Well, how many euros?
$800. It was nearly, it's 500, €499 euros and €599 euros. And I can't remember what the $499 came to, but the $599 came to close to $775, somewhere around there. I think it was like $772. That's insane.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if Sony's just getting a little arrogant, thinking so many people are going to pay that much money for a video game. I mean, for me, it's a video game system. I want to play video games on it.
Yeah. But let's get off the price, because obviously we could harp on that forever. Games. Anything look really spectacular to you, Ian?
Heavenly Sword.
That's what I would say.
Honestly, I mean, I'm going to go the expected route and say Final Fantasy 13. I thought it looked very, or at least from what we saw, it looked nice. I like the art style. I'm not sure about it being a series right out of the bat. They've already announced 3 Final Fantasy 13 games. But at least FF13 itself looks pretty sweet.
Yeah. But for me, the only games that really stood out were Final Fantasy 13. Heavenly Sword, Metal Gear Solid, and the Metal Gear Solid, to me, it looked a little bit worse graphically than the Tokyo Game Show prototype.
They were supposed to have the textures updated for this version, too.
I guess. I don't know.
I think everything looked a bit graphically worse compared to the Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah, I don't know. The Heavenly Sword, though, that looked pretty close to what they showed at last year's E3.
They didn't show the massive battle scene, though. That's a little...
Right, big. Yeah. They're,
hopefully they'll have that on the planet tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. But there were some other things. We obviously didn't see Killzone.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't see a lot of stuff. We saw a couple games, like there was Africa. Lord only knows what that's doing.
Yeah, the non-game.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Look at animals as you drive by. like safari game? What?
Yeah.
What is it, Ken? What is it, Kaz? Let us know. You notice I'm trying very hard not to curse. On my own one, I curse a lot. On this one, since it's a joint, I curse a lot. This is why I'm not cursing. I don't know. Controller. No rumble.
No. Yeah. Well, obviously,
we just lost. Sony is claiming, we should say, that this is because if they put the rumble in, the new gyroscopic whatever they're using for their new tilt function...
Yes, the Wii, excuse me?
Yeah. Is... That would hamper that.
Interfere with the...
Right. But it should also be noted that, yes, Sony is in the middle of losing a... very important case against immersion technologies having to do with the rumble technology used in the DualShock. Now, who's surprised that the PlayStation 3 controller looks pretty much exactly like the PlayStation 2 controller?
I'm not. I think they knew that the response to the Boomerang controller was pretty pretty negative.
The Batarang?
The Batarang, yeah.
The banana?
But I just think it's ironic that even in this generation, this upcoming generation, we've still got Sony pretty much jacking ideas, or at least an idea from Nintendo. I mean, come on, gyroscopic technology. I mean,
yes, we've got the Sony Live and the PS3. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about the? Do you think that the tilt function is going to be really anything useful, or
it will? It's hard to say until they actually build a game around it. I mean.
Well, they showed the demo of
Warhawk, yeah.
Warhawk, but obviously, it didn't really look like it helped in that respect at all.
No, it didn't look like it enhanced the experience, no.
I think if they put enough work into it, it could, but also Nintendo's a company that's going to focus on something like that. It's really going to make that work really well.
Well, and they already have all the iToy to focus on.
That's true, that's true. They did show off that card game with that goddamn duck. Sorry.
I heard about that. I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
Yes. We'll just leave the duck alone.
And about, you know, like, especially with the Xbox 360 getting so many ports right now, what's up with us seeing Gran Turismo HD instead of, like, a true Gran Turismo sequel? You know, we saw GT4 in, what was it, 1080? Is it 1080i?
1080p.
Okay, 1080p. And, I mean, it looked nice, but, what's up with us seeing, you know, spruced up versions of past generation games.
I think the reason they did state there, though, was that Polyphony Digital had just finished working on the PSP version of Gran Turismo or something like that, so they really didn't have a lot of time to make a new engine. So if that's true, that's a good reason to just up the resolution. But I'm not going to speculate there. That's just, I believe, what they said while we were there. So... And I don't really remember if there was anything else I wanted to say about the PS3.
PS3?
Oh, that's right. Well, you said PS3 Live.
Right.
That's actually a good thing, though. They're talking about having an online service that is pretty much on par with what Xbox Live offers, but it being completely free.
Yeah.
And no ads, no adverts.
They didn't mention no ads, no adverts, but they did say that the basic system would be completely free.
The basic system, so they'll probably be a premium system.
No, well, they were talking, they're looking at the microtransaction thing.
Right.
Okay, I showed you that slide earlier.
Right,
okay.
$650 for a level.
$695 for a level.
And what is it, $150 for weapons upgrades?
In some cases, some were free. Some were like $250. That gets a wee bit out of hand. They did show off one game though that was really nice. What was that called? That the singing one.
SingStar.
SingStar, yes, thank you. And what the neat thing they showed was you could go into an online music store. You bought a song that you would sing, and apparently it actually downloaded the video for that song. So that was kind of neat, so that you had this whatever crappy band you decided to pick playing their song in front of you while you sang their crappy song. I'm sorry, I don't like anything. But they did have Alice Cooper on the list of songs to play, so I was actually happy about that. But I'm a geek.
We all are. Geekery's awesome. Okay, well, moving on to Nintendo. I was the one that attended the Nintendo's pre-E3 press conference, and that was a lot more exciting, as it always is. Nintendo's got some great stuff coming up, and they really know how to keep things rolling and just keep things interesting. Of course, the majority of the press conference focused on the Wii, and, you know, I'm going to refrain from making... Yeah, okay, let's get the Wii jokes. You know, I've made my fair share, too. Yeah, Wii, yeah. Well,
where's that little squirrel with the giant nuts and that flash animation?
I know, sir, Well, either way, it focused on the Wii, and quite a bit of it focused on the DS, but, we really finally got to see the Wii in action for the first time, and you know, see some Wii games, and we got a glimpse of how Twilight Princess has been used the Wii.
Before you go on, not a big fan of making two versions of Twilight Princess.
Yeah, me neither. That was my my biggest gripe with all of Nintendo's announcements today. At this point, it just seems like they're releasing the GameCube version to save face with consumers.
Because they promised that it would be a GameCube version.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah.
Right, that does seem odd. I wonder what the differences really will be. If it's going to be an identical game, but you have different mechanics.
That's what it sounded like from what they were saying. It sounded like what they were saying was when you use the Wii controller to shoot your bow, for example. Like, you'll get, like, it'll darken the corners and give you a bright circle where that's... where you're looking, and then you get like a precise aiming reticule or something like that.
Right.
But obviously on the webcast that Ian and I watched, it was a wee bit small to be watching that and discern.
It looked promising, and I mean, if anyone can pull something like that off and base an entire game around this, you know, crazy new freehand control scheme, it's Nintendo. You know, I just don't like how they're pushing back the GameCube version release until the release of the Wii. I think it's really, you know, it needed to be a GameCube game like they announced more than 2 years ago.
Yeah, but, and it's definitely one of the best-looking GameCube games out there.
Yeah.
I think quite possibly the only game that I would definitely say looks better, Resident Evil 4.
I don't even know if I'd say that it does. I think we have to wait until we see the final version.
Well, I would say, because Resident Evil 4 has a very gritty, realistic look, and this has more of a fantasy, sharper image, realistic look.
Right.
So, they might be on par.
Really hard to compare.
Yeah. Well, even what we played last year.
Yeah.
But
I think there's two different styles as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the big thing.
Especially considering the Twilight Princess one is supposed to be based off the Wind Waker engine.
The basic engine, yes, is still the Wind Waker engine. As you can tell when he does his spin attacks, he'll still do the jink, and then like that pause, and then the spin attack.
And then, of course, when you hit an enemy, there's a little cinematic pause.
Right.
Which was from Wind Waker as well. So speaking of Wind Waker, shifting gears for a second, I don't know who expected Phantom Hourglass for the DS to be a Wind Waker sequel, but it is. The new Zelda game for the DS has been confirmed to be Wind Waker 2, essentially. And that kind of surprised me.
Direct sequel.
Takes place a few months after Wind Waker ends.
Yeah. I actually, when I first saw that, I thought it looked pretty good. It had some neat things. The fact that you could mark your map, I enjoyed.
Yeah.
I liked the boomerang, but we discussed this in a previous podcast, so we should move on to some other stuff.
Okay.
How about the fact that the nunchuck add-on
has its own
motion sensor.
Two different sensors in the one control scheme. Essentially, yeah, I don't think no one knew that before today, and I was surprised.
Especially great to see with Red Steel with two katanas.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
Oh, yeah, the one for blocking and the one for attacking, yeah.
And glossing on Red Steel for a second, I was really impressed with, one, how it looked, just the backgrounds and the environment, but two, mainly just I was watching the movements of the guy playing Red Steel, and they were really, really well in sync with what you saw on screen, with the way they kind of...
It was singular.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess when he was doing this, he was reloading his gun when he was using the nunchuck. Now, Ian and I noticed that while the guy was, the producer, I guess, was talking about the AI, that the AI was pretty smart. It would look for cover. It would, it would duck behind stuff. It would run away from you, right. You know.
The AI at the conference wasn't so sharp. For like about 3 or 4 minutes while he was talking about Red Steel, there was nothing on the screen like they were supposed to be.
Oh, that would be why the webcast showed us just him talking.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Okay. I just said we on the screen and nothing happened for about 4 minutes into the demo.
Okay. Ian, what did you think of the Wii Sports titles?
Oh, the tennis. Looked good. Madden. Not really a big Madden.
No, I mean the actual Wii Sports
line.
The one that's going to be, it looks like they might put it out as a single game.
Tennis, baseball,
and golf, probably.
Golf. Yeah, that's right. From what I've heard from initial impressions, tennis is extremely fun. And it looked like it. It looked like it was very responsive, and it's just amazing to me just how well the Wii controller emulates what you do in the game. From what I saw in the
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I could definitely see anybody picking that up.
Yeah, and honestly, they all looked like they were having really great amounts of fun playing tennis, including their winner, which I thought was a nice touch, where they had the first non-game journalist / developer get to play with the Wii, and they brought the 4 finalists out to E3, and they chose him.
Yeah.
And Miyamoto-san brought him up on stage.
I like the way that they just picked it up and had a lot of fun. I can, you know, Nintendo's mantra for this conference for this year is playing is believing, and you know their main goal they say is to make games appeal to non-gamers. They want to expand the market and bring everyone into gaming. And with games like that, I could see that happening.
Now, also on GamesAreFun.com, we've got a picture of the classic controller. It really just looks like a Super Nintendo controller with 2 analog sticks.
You won't hear me complaining. I mean, I was talking to you about this earlier. I mean, the Super Nintendo controller still stands as my favorite controller.
Now, are those 2 extra bumpers on the top?
They might be. Or, you know what? It's hard to tell from this picture, but I just want to say something. Do we see a Dreamcast light?
I just noticed that.
Cord placement here.
Yeah.
And weren't we discussing in the car earlier the absolute genius?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That looks like it's coming out of the top.
It might be. If it's,
I think it's coming out of the top.
I think it is. Look at it.
It might just be how it's bent, but please don't let it be coming out of the bottom because
Nintendo.
We need a bigger picture.
Yeah, we're gonna need a better picture of that.
So can we assume from this that the nunchuck combo will be used for N64 games?
I believe that would be quite possible. This really does look like it's designed for you to be ready to play your Super Nintendo and Nintendo games right off the bat. But the analog sticks make me say maybe it can be used for GameCube too, which is possible.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, we don't know.
There are a few things I could see that might not work though, as far as GameCube games are concerned.
Yeah, but again, we'll probably find out tomorrow. This is the big thing.
I wonder if that'll be on the show floor.
Oh, hopefully.
I wonder though, only because Nintendo opted not to talk about the Virtual Console, which is one of the few disappointments I have with the conference, is that we didn't hear much about the Virtual Console. They just kind of glossed over it and moved on to DS.
They also didn't talk about the price point or the launch date.
Right.
So they said they're going to bring up all 3 at a later time.
Right. Which I guess means TGS.
That would be the next logical place. It really would.
Well, they haven't attended the last 2 Tokyo Game Shows, have they?
Yeah, they did. Last year's, or last TGS, where they unveiled the Revolution Controller.
That's right, yeah, it
or
is.
The then Revolution Controller, now it's the Wii Controller.
That's right.
Right, okay. So maybe at this year's Tokyo Game Show, we'll get some information and we'll be all set.
Yeah, as far as, besides that, I just wanted to run over a few surprises. I don't know if anyone saw this coming, but Yoshi's Island 2, a direct sequel to Yoshi's Island. That surprised me. They're making Star Fox DS. Super Mario Galaxy was looking really nice. They're making an entirely new Mario game for the Wii.
Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem. Yeah, I can't forget Fire Emblem. It was only a short clip, but yeah.
Yeah, I think the clip was like, what, a second and a half?
Yeah, yeah, but that got a few cheers. Definitely got a few cheers. And also, we can't forget Metroid Prime 3 Corruption, which was looking sweet.
That was looking good. I'd like to see how that plays. That'll probably be one of the first games I play tomorrow. Yeah. And finally, we have Microsoft's press conference. They started off with a pretty big bang, and I mean a bang, with the Unreal Engine 3-powered Gears of War, with Cliffy B at the helm playing through. What'd you think of that, Ian?
Pretty nice. Yeah, it definitely looks like a fun game. The shotgun, the chainsaw gun.
That Unreal Engine 3, it makes me want to clean my panties.
It's hot.
Isn't it?
It is.
It's so hot, actually. Anyway, so they start off with a bang, and then it gets...
a little boring.
Yeah, yeah. First off...
no offense to Peter Moore.
Right, but it was just Peter talking for most of it.
Yeah.
And where was Robbie Bach?
Where was Jay Allard?
Yeah, where was that bald dude? As I try to not curse. You know, all right, but...
Peter Moore, Bill Gates.
Yeah, Bill Gates actually showed up, and he actually gave some stuff. Now, the big news, I guess, besides what we'll get to at the end... yeah, whatever.
One guess we don't know yet.
Yeah, yeah. Look at the damn site. Was that there's going to be a whole bunch of interconnectivity between Xbox Live and Windows Vista, including... having your same gamer tag work with your Vista and your Xbox Live.
And not only that, but having content being tradable across.
Yes, yes, and going to phones as well with right. Windows Mobile.
Right. The example they used was a car
PGR3.
PGR3, being able to tweak its stats on your phone, being able to customize it on your computer, and then being able to play it on your Xbox.
Right.
Which just further, you know, underscores their commitment to the whole...
we'll be in everything
set-top box. Yeah, well, yeah. Being the whole, you know, it'll do everything you need to do.
Yeah.
The whole Windows,
Vista?
Yeah, no Vista, but the Windows and, Media Center. The whole connection.
Yeah. I found, though, that was actually pretty interesting. It'd be nice to be able to do that where... if I'm on my Xbox and a friend of mine is on a PC and we're playing a game that you could play while one's on the other, you know, mm-hmm. that we yeah. could be like, Shadowrun. It was the example they used. And yes, Bill, Shadowrun is for you, baby. They said, hey, let's go play Shadowrun, you know, and it was, I'm on my Xbox and Major Nelson was on his PC. But he could have went and played Shadowrun, because the other big thing they talked about was simultaneous releases of games on both the PC with Windows XP and Windows Vista and the Xbox 360. The first example was Oblivion. And the next big example was
Shadowrun.
So, but that'll be kind of interesting. Bill, I'm sorry to have to say this, Bill Gates, you're boring when you're out there talking, okay?
I can see a lot of potential in the connectivity for games like Viva Pinata or any other kind of more...
that actually looked kind of cool, too, the little things that it did.
It does look cool.
Rare's Animal Crossing, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. But hey, there's nothing wrong with Animal Crossing.
Nothing at all.
I'd probably try out Viva Pinata. It looked like it'd be neat. You're kind of like a mix of Harvest Moon and Animal Crossing, right. I guess. You know. Were you going to say something else?
Was I?
I don't know. Were you?
It's hard because, I mean, yeah, no offense to Peter Moore. I know he means well, but there really did nothing much happen. It was kind of...
Yeah, it's kind of... they showed off a few things. They did show off some nice stuff. They showed Forza 2.
They didn't even have slides.
That's true. They showed off Forza 2. I love it when people IM me when I'm in the middle of recording.
Thanks,
Jen
man.
Cutter.
Yeah, thanks, man.
And I'm leaving that in there.
Come on. Don't go for it.
Yeah. But anyway, there were some big announcements, though. There was that nice big announcement for all you Grand Theft Auto fans.
Right.
Grand Theft Auto 4 is coming out. And while we don't know how long it's going to be exclusive on the Xbox, we assume that they have a certain timed exclusive because Peter Moore was very, very vocal and adamant in stating that Grand Theft Auto 4 will be first on the Xbox 360. Whether this means a month, 3 weeks, 6 months, a year, we don't know. But it will be first. And he also mentioned episodic content downloadable for it over Xbox Live.
That will be exclusive to Xbox.
Yes, and that part will be exclusive to Xbox.
Well, that content will be. We don't know if the PlayStation 3 will have its own episode of content.
Right, right. But there was nothing announced at PlayStation.
No.
So, I mean, this is a big victory for Microsoft. They've been trying to get Grand Theft Auto as any sort of exclusive for a long time now. And this is a big, big victory for Microsoft. This is something that they've been trying. Now they got it. And now we're going to actually get the chance to see if Grand Theft Auto would come out on the Xbox first, if it would have sold more on the Xbox than on the PlayStation 2. Yes. Maybe we'll get to see the trailers here at this E3.
Hopefully.
Yes.
That would be the...
Now...
Is Rockstar even here this year?
I don't know. I haven't checked. Now, of course, the ending of the press conference.
Well, before we go into that, I just want to say there was certainly nothing about a certain third chapter in a certain first-person shooter series. Nothing at all.
Like, yeah, you're right.
Nothing.
You're right.
So we should just...
Yeah. There was nothing. Nothing there.
Nothing at all.
Nothing to see here. Move along, people. No, actually, there was. They did bring out the video of Halo 3, which, ironically, Bungie had previously said, oh, no, we're not showing the video of Halo 3. So, liars! Yeah. It looked really nice, what they showed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if that was real time, I'm going to be really impressed with how it looks.
Yeah, especially the draw, the amount of action.
The reflections, everything else like that. Yeah, that was pretty nice. Although they did mention some other things. They mentioned the Xbox Live camera. They also mentioned the Xbox 360 HD DVD player.
Right, which will only be used for movies and not for games.
Yes. They mentioned a couple other peripherals, didn't they? See, that was like part of the... That was during the part that I really didn't care about.
Right. Peter, yeah, we were asleep by then.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm sorry, Peter. We love you to death, but... It wasn't interesting.
Your performance was solid.
Yeah. We'd like to thank the Academy for giving him this nomination. So, that's really about it for everyone this year for the press conferences. We're going to have more info to be giving you from the show floor... Well, after we get back from the show floor, starting tomorrow. So, look out. We're going to be back, and we're going to rock your socks off. I'm Sam Aldersitz for Ash Paulson and Ian Fischel. We're going to catch you later. Bye-bye.